All right, if you take your Bibles, please, this morning, and turn to Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew and chapter 7. Graceland's already amening the preacher. Do you hear that? Yeah. All right, let's pray and then we'll get into the scriptures this morning. Father, thank you so much again for your word and for the opportunity to look into it. We pray you'd instruct us and guide us and teach us. Help us to take what we learn and apply it to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A number of years ago, a friend of mine had some car problems, and so he took his car to a garage to, of course, get it repaired. And after the repair was done, he went to pay for the repair and pick up the car. And as he was driving home, his car was doing the same thing as before he took it to the mechanic. And so he took it back to the mechanic the second time. And once again, he was told that the car was repaired. But again, on the way home, he discovered his car was still doing the same thing. Well, to make a long story short, that mechanic never could fix that car, even after three attempts. And so he finally took his car to another mechanic, and immediately that mechanic found the problem and fixed it once and for all. And my friend, the one who had all this car trouble, said this about the first mechanic. He said, "He calls himself a mechanic, but he's no mechanic." And that makes us think of many people today who claim they're Christians. Why? Because as you look at their lifestyle and compare it to the Word of God, you immediately come to the conclusion that they are not Christians according to the Word of God. And so how can we tell if a person who claims to be saved is truly saved? Well, God's word tells us there is a way that you can tell if a person is truly a born-again child of God. And I preach this sermon this morning out of love and concern, because we have churches all over this nation that have people in them telling us they are children of God, but God is going to say to some of these people, "I never knew you." See, there are lots of lost people that know they're lost, and they will readily admit that they are not saved, and they know they are on their way to a devil's hell. And that is sad. That is tragically sad. But something even sadder than that is the fact that there are people who think they're saved, but they will find out that they are part of that group to whom the Lord will say, "I never knew you." And this is not something that I just made up. And I don't want you to just take my word for it. This is something that Jesus himself said. And so if you've got your Bible open to Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, look at what Jesus says here in verses 21 to 23. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Listen, folks can try to fool other people about whether or not they are children of God, but they can't fool God. But they can't fool God. So how can we tell if a person is truly a child of God. Now, perhaps some are saying, well, preacher, we can't tell because the Bible says that we're not to judge one another. And the Bible does say, judge not. But let me tell you something. Matthew 7, verse 1, where those words are found, is one of the most misquoted and misunderstood passages in the Bible. Now, the only part of this passage that deals with judging are the words, judge not. And yes, the Bible does teach judge not, but it has to be put in the proper context to understand what the Lord is saying. So what does it say? Well, go back to the beginning of this chapter. Chapter 7, look at verses 1 through 5. He says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And so God is not telling us not to judge one another at all. What he's saying, as we read, is why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? That is, why are you putting emphasis and looking at the little splinter in your brother's eye when you got a 2x4 in your eye? And so God tells the person who judges another not to do that unless he has first judged himself. Otherwise, he is a hypocrite. And that is the context of Jesus' words, judge not. See, the truth is, we are taught to judge. Look at verse 15 of this chapter. He says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Well, how can we beware of a false prophet if we do not judge him to be a false prophet? And by the same token, we can tell if a person claims to be a child of God, if they are truly a child of God. And we do that by comparing their lifestyle to the Word of God. And we find out quickly if he or she is a child of God. Now, let's look at verse 16 here in this chapter. We're going to read verse 16, and then we're going to continue right down through verse 23 that we already read, so we get the context. He says in verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These verses that I just read to you tell us that that if you can tell genuine fruits from a bunch of thorns, then you can tell the difference between a Christian and a person who claims to be saved but is not saved. And notice the Lord said that we can know a person is a child of God by the fruits they bear. And notice the word fruits is not singular, it's plural. God's word is telling us that a genuine child of God bears many different kinds of fruits. But the problem is, in our day and age, many who claim to be Christians do not bear any of the fruits that the Bible teaches they should bear. Now, in case you're thinking that if what I just said is true, then there is no difference between a child of God who sins and a lost sinner who sins, you need to know that there's a big difference. See, the Bible speaks of Christians as being overtaken in a fault. Sometimes we get slack in our walk with God. Sometimes we get slack in our church attendance or in our prayer time or in our Bible reading and Bible study, and we will become weak and Satan will move in and overtake us. In Galatians 6:1, it talks about Christians being overtaken in a fault. That simply means when Christians wake up each day, we do not go out and look for sin to get involved in, as the lost sinner does. The Bible uses the word that means there are times we are overtaken and we fall into sin. Picture it, if you will, as a hole in the road. And we'll call that hole sin. Well, there's a big difference in how a child of God and a lost sinner approach that hole of sin. The lost sinner willingly jumps into the hole. They live for sin. But here's the difference. The Christian may at times get careless and fall into the hole of sin, but they want to get out. They've been born again, and now they have the Holy Spirit in them convicting them of any kind of bad behavior. They want to get in. They want to get out of that hole. They've got that new nature within them that does not like being in the hole of sin. Now, I fully understand that there is no such a thing as a perfect Christian, not in this life anyway. But the Bible tells us that we can tell if a person is truly a Christian by the kind of fruit they bear. Now, in this one service, we do not have time to look at all the fruits that a Christian should bear. But let's look this morning at some of these fruits that a child of God should bear. And the first thing I want you to consider is our love. Our love. How much clearer can the Word of God be than this? John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." God tells us, you don't have to guess. You can know that someone is a disciple of Jesus if they have love for others. One of the fruits that we Christians are to bear is love. Now, let me ask you a question. When people observe how you live the Christian life, do they know for sure that you are a child of God because they see the love of Christ in your life? If Christ is living in someone, do you think they would be a gossip? Do you think they would be telling dirty jokes? If Christ is living in someone, do you think they would be watching filth on television and the internet? Do you think they would be telling lies? See, we who call ourselves Christians are to live as Jesus lived here on earth. Now, let me get stern for a moment. You know, I told the Lord when I was preparing this sermon that I did not want to preach this message this morning. I was honest with him about that. I told him I did not want to preach this message, but I felt the Holy Spirit impressing upon me that if I didn't preach it, I would be displeasing the Lord, and I do not want to displease him. So here goes. You ready? Some of the meanest and cruelest people on this earth are people who claim to be saved. Now, I don't say that of all Christians, thankfully. But there are those who claim to be saved, and they are mean-spirited, and they are vicious, and they are cruel. And the devil uses these people daily to make Christianity look bad, in the same way that God uses godly people to make Christianity look good. See, we gotta keep in mind the fact that God's word tells us that we are known as Christians by our love for one another. And if you love someone, you will not purposely be doing things to hurt them or embarrass them. I think we would all agree with that. I have a preacher friend in South Carolina who was telling me one time about a lost family in his town that was having some domestic problems. And they contacted him hoping that he would be able to give them some advice. The husband was running around on his wife with another woman. And the preacher counseled with them and finally was able to get them to at least hold the family together. And one Sunday, shortly after this, they attended his church. And on that Sunday morning, before the morning service was to start, he was walking around greeting people like I do on Sunday morning, shaking hands and saying hi with everybody. And just then, a woman in his church, who claimed to be saved, walked up to that couple who had just stepped in church for the first time. She spoke to them. They were total strangers. She had never met them before. And she made jokes about how filthy and ragged their children looked when they brought them into church that morning, right to their face. My preacher friend said, you could tell that man and his wife were embarrassed. And the next week, he went to see that couple, and the man said, preacher, I came to your church to get my life straightened out. I did not come there to be embarrassed. We won't be coming back to your church. And he and his wife never came back. But the story doesn't end there. After that embarrassing situation, that man quit trying to get his life straightened out and went back to that woman he was having an affair with. And he came home one night, and his wife was waiting for him in the living room, and she had a gun. And when he came in, she shot and killed him, and then shot and killed herself. My pastor friend preached that funeral. He said it was sad. It was sad as two caskets were side by side and three little children had lost their mom and dad. Listen, those two people are possibly in hell today because this woman who claimed she saved embarrassed them the way she did. It could have been that when they were reaching out for help, they could have gotten the help they needed, and their lives might not have ended up the way they did. According to the Word of God, that woman can claim she saved all she wants to, but according to the Word of God, she is very likely going to be one of those who stand before the Lord one day, and he'll tell her, I never knew you. I never knew you. Because the Bible makes it clear that you can tell a child of God by their love for others. And love does not do the kind of things that woman did. You see, there are people who claim they're Christians, but they remind you of an old pit bull dog. They're always attacking other people. They're vicious. They make fun of people's weight. They make fun of people's race. They make fun of people's education. They're vicious like a pit bull dog. And when you love someone, you don't do that. You don't do that. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. And you know, when you hear someone showing unkindness, you need to have the Holy Ghost boldness to look at them and say, I thought you claimed to be a child of God. And if that person says they are, tell them to start acting like one. Tell them to start acting like one. So love is one fruit you should see in the life of a Christian. And then let me share another one before we bring this to a close. Not only our love, but our deeds. Our deeds. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3, verses 18 and 19, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Now, why does it say that? Because talk is cheap. Anybody can say, I love you. There's got to be more to it than just the three words, right? So he says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed, deeds are actions, and in truth. That means according to the word of God, because there's a lot that goes on under the world that they call love that is completely contrary to the word of God. And so we're to love in deed and in truth. And then he goes on and says, hereby we know that we are of the truth. By our deeds, by our good deeds, we know we're of the truth. In other words, there are people who can talk it, but they don't walk it. And it is appropriate today for Bible preachers to preach to some who claim to be saved that when it comes to their Christian behavior, they need to put up or shut up. Put up or shut up. People who claim to be Christians do a great deal of harm to the work of God on a daily basis by telling people they're saved while living like they're not saved. And the Bible tells us that one way you can tell people are truly children of God is by their deeds. You know, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That is, its purpose is to direct our lives. The scriptures say God's people should love in deed and truth. Their deeds genuinely tell us they are children of God. And what the Bible is teaching lets us know that there are some people who can hear the word of God and it means nothing to them. They can hear the word of God preached and it goes in one ear and out of the other. They refuse to obey it. But you know, in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, our Bible says this, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That is, those who know the Lord are no longer to yield themselves to the devil. They are to yield themselves to the Lord Jesus. But you look at the lives of some who claim to be saved and you compare their lives with the word of God and you will find that their deeds don't line up with the word of God. When people claim to be saved by the grace of God and they are not bearing the right kind of fruits, they are in for the most tragic surprise of their lives when the Lord tells them they were not of him. They were none of his. Now, when you preach a sermon like this, there's always someone who doesn't know the scriptures who will say, well, you're preaching salvation by works. No, I'm preaching what the Word of God says. And that is, if you are truly a child of God, others can tell you're a child of God by the kind of fruits you are bearing. Now, let me close with this. There are two things that God desires when it comes to knowing things. First, he wants you to know that you are a child of God. And he wants you to know right now. In 1 John 5:13, we read this: "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." You don't have to wait until you stand before the Lord Jesus to know whether or not you're saved. The Lord wants you to know now. And you can know by placing your faith in your trust in Jesus Christ alone for the salvation of your soul. By calling out to Christ and receiving him, you can know Christ as your Savior. You can know your sins are forgiven. You can know you're on your way to heaven. You can know that you are a child of God. You can know. He wants you to know that you are a child of God. But then secondly, he wants others to know that you are a child of God. He wants others to know. And the way that happens is simple. You can show others that you are saved by the fruits you bear, by showing forth very clearly the fruits of love and good deeds. And if you're not bearing the right kind of fruits in your life, you have every right to doubt your salvation. And so do others. And so let me remind you of these two verses again. John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And 1 John 3:18-19, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth." So, how can you tell if someone is saved? It's by their love and by their deeds. Now, God doesn't need to see those things to know if somebody's saved, because he can see their heart. But you and I can't see their heart. And so the only way that we can know whether or not somebody else is saved has been summed up very clearly by the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and the challenge to our hearts. And Lord, how I pray that you would help us as believers to bear the right kind of fruit in our lives. Lord, may your love just exude from us and flow through us towards others. And Lord, help us to back that up by our good deeds of service to you and service to others. Lord, help us to really shine bright for you, so that people can see daily the difference that you make in our lives. Lord, we don't want there to be any doubt as to whether or not we're Christians. We want it to be very, very clear, and so help us every day to bear fruit for your glory and for your honor. And Lord, as people examine their hearts in this room this morning, if there is someone here who does not know Jesus Christ in a personal way, they've never received him as their Savior, they're not sure their sins are forgiven and they're on their way to heaven, I pray that this morning they would take this step of faith and call out to Christ and let him know that they are now trusting him and him alone for eternal life and for forgiveness of sin. Lord, help them to receive him as their Savior and Lord. Father, don't let anybody leave this place today without knowing for sure, without being 100% absolutely sure that Christ is their Savior, their sins are forgiven, they are on their way to heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.